Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
And Happy New Year to everyone who's joining us for this show or may be listening to it after we post it. This is the first show in 2020 for the Institute for Supply Management's Report on Business series. I'm Tim Grady, and my co-host Lou Weiss is with us, and I have Tim Fiore joining us, who is the committee chair for the Manufacturer Report on Business that Lou and I watch incredibly closely. So, Tim, appreciate you being here. Welcome back to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Yeah, Happy New Year and Happy 2020, Tim.
Well, thank you, and the same to you. And you and I were just talking briefly before the show. Tim has got a number of news media that he has to respond to on this busy day for him. And you felt there were some signs of life in this report, so I'm going to be fascinated to hear what they are.
Right. So this is the last report for business year 2019, right? So this is the wrap-up. I will say I haven't looked at what's been coming out in the media since 10 o'clock, but I think we underperformed. We came in at 47.2, and I think the consensus was from the journal anyway was 49. So we disappointed a bit. I like to report this on the basis of demand, consumption, and inputs. So the demand side remained relatively the same month over month. New orders were down slightly, but not much, hanging in this 47 range. We had backlog at 43, about the same as last month, still not exciting. New export orders at 47, about the same as last month again, not very exciting again. And then the fourth element I watched on the demand side was customer inventories at 41. That was down almost 4 points, which is really good. So what that really says is that our panelist customers are depleting their on-hand inventory as they close on the year, and that's probably consistent with working capital needs and making sure that they're not over-ordering. So that's really a good sign for Q1 for the future, that there's a bucket of demand out there that hopefully we can satisfy in the January-February timeframe. So that's the demand side. Nothing really exciting on demand. So the bigger story is on the consumption and the input side. The consumption side was the biggest negative to PMI, and the primary contributor there was production at 43.2, the lowest it's been since 2009. I guess I'm not totally surprised about that. We've been talking months after months here that production can only work on stuff there's orders for, and the new order level has been declining. The backlog has been going down too, so the conclusion there is that companies have been working on backlog because there's not enough new orders to keep their factories busy. Backlog didn't decrease anymore, but at 43, it's a pretty strong contraction anyway. So, but I think the story for production really in December was, it's a light month for manufacturing. There's a weak period, and this year actually with the holiday showing up on Tuesday and Wednesday, a lot of people took the couple days going into it and a couple days coming out of it. So, although this week obviously is not included in the December report, the couple of days going into the holiday period there probably were. And, looking at the panelists' comments, there was a lot of opinion about, we're not going to be working during the holiday period. If you've got vacation, make sure you take it. We're not going to approve a carry-on. If you want to take the time off, please, by all means, go ahead. So I think as we got into December, most of your companies had the 2019 business plan in hand, or they knew how to report on it when they finished the year, and that everybody was really focusing more on 2020 at that point in time. So the production piece doesn't really surprise me that much. December, the holiday period, the day that it showed up in, the fact that new orders were down, all contribute to the fact that our production number was down at the 43. So the bigger story, I'll get back to employment later. I've got some sub-elements I'd like to share with your community. But the biggest story is really around the input side. And there is definitely signs of life there. So first off, the supplier delivery number expanded at a pretty decent rate of 54 and some change, almost close to 55, up 2.6 points. That's good. That means suppliers are struggling. And many times change occurs at the bottom, right? The best change is the stuff that does occur at the bottom and bubbles up. So, you know, on top of that, all of our lead time metrics got extended. Capital equipment, production material, MRO equipment, all got extended and by more than 1 or 2 days, too. So it was a pretty strong push on the lead time side. And then, you know, digging through my supplier comments, I go through the supplier delivery section and look for comments, and I try to categorize those. And there was a lot of comments here around lead time activity being extended. Up more in December than normal, and shortage issues become much more prevalent in December than they were in November. 25% of my comments were shortage related in December versus 9% in November. So that's a real change. And then, you know, lastly, on the input side, you've got the prices element. And prices got back into expansion territory, you know, by 5 points. They shifted from last month to this month. And, you know, that's supported by the fact that steel prices are, they didn't really move much. They haven't collapsed. They're, you know, 575, 600 a short ton, which is still below a nominal steel price, but it's not dropping. We've seen low to mid fours in the recent history. Copper prices are up, which is a good sign for China. Soybean prices are up, which is probably a reflection of what's going to happen here in exporting into China. So, you know, prices, lead times, and the supplier delivery number, as well as inventory, gaining slightly, not a lot, but gaining slightly in a point in time when, you know, Q4, closing the year, factories really don't want any inventory. You could have expected that inventory number to drop even more, but I think there's an issue here around, okay, we're having trouble getting the material for January, so let's just take it. So overall, I think there's a bottoms-up kind of activity stirring here that bodes well for Q1.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for Lou to get his mic unmuted or live with us.
Sorry about that. Good morning. And I was just commenting on the fact that I noticed in the respondents what they're saying is they're not saying anything about tariffs. It's like it's gone away.
Well, it's been a low-level discussion point in my comments now for quite some time. We actually saw a slight uptick in comments. I think we were at 24% of the comments were tariff-related, up from 20% in November. But that's still way off of the highs of 50%.
Yeah,
and very, very close to the lows of 18. So, yeah, I think we've just kind of gotten used to it. The phase one deal hadn't been confirmed, although it's still not signed, right? I guess there is a deal, but there's supposed to be some signed deal in mid-January, and I don't know that everybody really knows what the deal finally is. But I think the people who are crafting the deal have a 90% understanding of what it is, and I think that'll bode well for our computer and electronics and chemical industry sector, because if you look at the industry sector issue here, remember this thing triangulates. You've got we look at the activities, we report on activities, new orders, inventory, production, and so forth, and those are all fed by the 18 industry sectors, of which six of them make up 70%. And you know, if you look at those industry sectors, the food and beverage area was again the strongest. I think it's the fifth straight month of the strongest of the big six. It's our number four industry sector at about 12% of manufacturing GDP. Computer electronics is number one, slightly expanding, not heavily, but slightly expanding. Chemical, number two, slightly contracting, and it's been that way now for several months. And then transportation equipment, our number three industry sector, is strongly contracting, and it's been that way for about 6 months. And, you know, with the Boeing MAX issue, that probably is going to be some headwind for transportation, as well as causing some issues in primary metals and fabricated metal products and maybe even computer electronics. But so from the industry sector standpoint, you know, I think the phase one tariff issue is going to help chemicals. And I think the confusion here around export licenses for electronic components is predominantly resolved. You know, the companies know what they're going to be able to do, and that should help our electronics sector. Two of those combined might get us above 50.
One of the things that we noticed in past years, anyway, that there was a lot of purchases in the month of December to get rid of capital because you had money left over in the budget, and there were purchases done to do that. But that seemingly has gone away to a great extent, and I don't know if that's because they've already used up their budget earlier in the year and that there's none left over by December, because it hasn't really shown its head where people are looking to get rid of budget money.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of that has to do with production output, right, because they want to actually expend it, get the receivable or get the payable. And a lot of that probably, a lot of that stuff is capital that would have probably had, you know, had anywhere from a 6 to 12 week lead time. Mm-hmm. So that activity probably would have happened back, and the new order level would have spiked in the September, August, September, October period. And I think at that point there was such an uncertainty in the market that, and there was a lot of pressure, I think, to cut budgets to close the fiscal year, knowing that half two was not as good as half one. So it wouldn't surprise me if we didn't see that level of activity, but the indicator probably would have happened back in the early fall, and because you would want the sale, the billing, to occur before the end of the fiscal year so you can at least accrue it, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. And, you know, this is a lot different than last December, because last December people were still hustling to place orders to get order positions with considerably long lead times going into Q1, Q2. So it was still a really, you know, a pretty strong, well, let's see, when last December was what? What do we have for PMI last December? Looking. Let's see. You guys probably know this better than I do. Last last January we were 56.6, right? So December, last December we had a bit of a bump, too. The markets kind of reacted, you know, weirdly. There was a belief that we've been in expansion too long, so there has to be a contraction. There was a big pullback in early December. I think the PMI actually dropped down relatively, pretty significantly, November to December of last year. So, you know, while we're chatting here, I'll look it up.
Well, I'd be happy with a 56.6 in this coming January. We may get surprised. From our metals company side, we're hearing those kinds of words. Next month.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, you know, the best change is the one that starts at the bottom. So, and I think the bottom really is the supplier input side, right? And You know, that would, you know, prices going up, lead times extending, suppliers having difficulty delivering, you know, inventories, not at high levels. That all, you know, bodes well. The only thing missing here is some orders.
Well, I was going to ask you, Jim, why or how prices could possibly go up in the face of a slowing, contracting, what some might perceive as a declining market. It's counterintuitive, and usually you cannot raise prices in the face of a decline, but you make a very interesting point about suppliers trying to scramble to deliver to manufacturers so they can make what they make. And clearly that's being driven, and that's why we see price increases. Fascinating.
Yeah, well, and you know, if you haven't put your orders in place, if you're a serial production company and you haven't put your orders in place by now for 2020, at least for the first 6 months, then you're going to have a hard time. I think we spoke about this last month, that we thought the new order level was being constrained because people were looking to make sure that they paid the lowest price possible. Well, because we had the price index down in the 46 range. So now we're above 51, 50, we're close to 52. You know, we know that aluminum and steel has had some life. You know, copper's got some life. So people are placing order. Hopefully this has forced people to place orders in January, because price reductions are probably not something that they're going to see for the next 3 or 4 months. So we had the PMI. Yeah, last November we were at 58.8, and in December we dropped to 54.3. We had a 4.5 point drop. And, you know, a lot of that, I think, was related to the fact that 2018 was in the pocket. Production output didn't need to be to the high levels that it had been in November, new order levels. We were starting to see shrinking lead times. It's an interesting period here, right? So this is an odd month, And, you know, like I said, I think the reason the production was down this month was primarily because the companies really didn't need the people there to work, and therefore, you know, and because the new orders haven't been there.
One of the interesting things is your 6 months semi-annual report, which you just came out with in December, which, as I recall, is indicating for the next 6 months that it's going to be smooth going with slight upticks and so on. Would you still hold to that?
Yeah, the data that we got for the PMI for December supports the whole forecast that we reported on in early December. So remember, the business confidence and the outlook for 2020 was at a 60. Remember, 50 is expanding, below 50 is contracting. So we were essentially at a 60 for both outlook and business confidence. So both of those are that's a pretty strong expansion. And then, you know, if you look at the comments this month compared to November, we had 1.2 positive comments in the general comment section to one not so positive. So, and that's up from 1 to 1 last month, and up from 1 to 1.3 in October. So the attitude, the sentiment for 2020 has definitely improved as we close on 2019. And you remember the forecast we did for 2020. Predicts that half one and half two are going to be running at about the same level. So
right.
we're not growing into half two, and we're not contracting out of half one. So that overall is pretty positive for, you know, a balanced manufacturing cycle. You know, we just need the new orders to come back here, get the new orders back.
Well, the Defense Department may get a boost soon.
Somebody's got to replenish that stuff.
That's right. That's right.
High-value items.
Well, it's interesting to me, Tim, that the commodities up in price are aluminum products, copper products, scrap metals, hot-rolled steel, stainless products, and valves. And those all tend to be items that are going into production with rather long lead times, and not something that you buy and you crank out in 2 or 3 weeks. So, if those are up in price, there's some demand for them, obviously, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the January report looks as we reflect back on this December report.
Yeah, this is going to be really interesting for sure. I mean, you know, the valve issue is probably a carry forward from higher steel prices 9 months ago. Okay, fine. But, you know, you look at that in conjunction with the stuff in short supply, aluminum products, machine parts are probably, you know, stainless and or steel. So they're now in short supply, which would indicate that, you know, there's probably a lot of under lead time demand for them, which is a positive too. I thought the titanium comment was really interesting because that's primarily an aerospace component, and with this, the 37 probably doesn't have a lot of titanium on it, but I'm sure the F-35 does. So, but you're right. These are fundamental commodities that will make their way through the value chain. This is the lowest level, which again is the ground level that you really want to see growth start at, because then it just pushes everything through. I mean, the scrap metals, and when scrap prices go up, that's a good indicator for steel prices, right?
Oh, clearly, that's charged furnaces.
Yeah. We did have a lot of comments, too, on freight, although we're showing it here as down in price. There were quite a few general comments around freight issues, having some difficulty arranging for carriers, and not so much around the cost per ton, but more around access and availability. You know, there's been some bankruptcies and things over the last couple of months that might be exacerbating that a bit. But, you know, anytime there's a freight shortage, that's a good indicator for the future, too.
Also, the fact that they don't have enough drivers.
Yeah, right. The continuing problem with drivers, right?
Right, right. The old skill gap issue.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, initial jobless claims, I don't know if I got the number yesterday, but, you know, somewhere around 220,000. Moving average is up about 8% over the last couple of months. And it's the highest level since, you know, February of last year. So, that's not so positive, but, you know, consumer confidence, conference board at 126, about the same as November, which is still a pretty good number. University of Michigan at 99 versus 96 in November, that's a good number. So on the employment side, you know, I've been tracking the comments on the employment section, and, you know, last month I reported that 44% of the comments were force reduction related, and of those 44%, two-thirds of them were around layoffs. From the positive standpoint, this month, it's 34% of the comments are force reduction related, and two-thirds of them are around achieving the headcount goals through attrition. So that's a clear change, too, and I think that probably reflects the fact that people now understand their headcount demand going into the 2020 business year, and that they're not going to have to take drastic steps to reduce the workforce. They'll just allow it to follow its natural conclusion as people retire out. And we still have the baby boomers in the retirement mode as they retire out. Their 401ks are doing pretty good, and they just won't be replaced. So I think that's the general path here from the manufacturing standpoint to hit the headcount goals. That should be pretty well aligned with the revenue production output. You know, remember, we predicted 4.5% revenue growth in 2020 compared to 2019, and some of that could be price growth related, but generally there's got to be some element of general growth. You know, if we're looking at a 2% GDP growth for 2020, which is probably a consensus estimate at this point, then you know, every company should be expected to grow 2%, and they have to pay. We also predicted in our forecast that wage and benefit growth will be, you know, very little this year. So, and productivity should improve. I think our operating rates and productivity numbers in the forecast were pretty good too. So, you know, and I think as we close 2019, profitability struggled. And I think, oh, I'm looking for my sheet here. I think we, let's see, yeah, here we go. So let's see, profit margins as we ended Q4 of last year, 43% diffusion index. So profit margins were contracting for sure at the end of 2019. As we go into Q1 and Q2 of this year, you know, we're looking at an expansion at a 56 level. So, so I think we think, you know, profitability will improve at least for half one of 2020 compared to half two of 2019.
I'm ready.
And that was in your semi-annual forecast, was it not, Tim?
Yeah, correct. This is semi-annual numbers, and you know, CapEx, we're still predicting a decline of 2.1% for 2020. We think that 2019 we spent 6.4% more than 2018. So that's over a multi-year period. That's still a pretty good rate of growth in CapEx, and we're predicting a 3.3% production capacity expansion for 2022. So overall, you know, I think the report, although the headline number is not good, it's not terribly bad. I mean, we're not in any kind of heavy contraction here. You know, not to be alarmist, consumer confidence is positive. Unemployment numbers are still in a controllable level. You can look at this PMI, you look at the sub-indexes, and you can see what's driving them. Production was down in December, more so than probably our seasonality number would have predicted, primarily because the fact that there wasn't a lot to work on from a new order and a backlog standpoint. You know, and at the bottom level, you know, the groundswell, prices going up, lead times expanding, suppliers struggling with delivering, you know, that indicates to me that we've got something going on here that should bode well for Q1. And if we could see chemicals and computers come back at, you know, low to mid 50s, That would definitely get the PMI up above 50.
Well, not to throw in a negative on top of a negative, and I don't know which is causing which. Not having a wonderful report, and number two, having the issue that was caused last night in Iran, the stock market is taking a hit today. It's down as of 2 minutes ago, down about 200 points. So it's very easy for, you know, stock market had a great year. They keep telling us, great, great, great year. Well, that shows how quickly things can change in 2 days. So,
right, the market especially, right? The market reacts.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's supposed to really reflect a year from now, but it doesn't. It reacts to what's happening today. And
of course.
And we've had a good day yesterday, I think. It probably just gave back everything we gained yesterday.
That's exactly right. Well,
so, you know, like on production, you know, I like to look at the percents, the shifting comments from better, same, worse. So if you look into the report, the production number was the lowest since April of 2009. And a lot of our numbers here were the lowest since April of 2009. And you know that wasn't a good time, right? That early 2009 period on the PMI kind of predicted what was going to happen in the fall. But so lowest since 2009, but the percent down on the production side went from 23% in November to 34%. So we had a major amount of companies. We had basically a 50% increase in the amount of companies saying that they produced less in the month of December. That's a clear shift, you know, and I think, and like I said, we have a seasonal factor that takes into the holidays, but, you know, the holiday was on a Tuesday, Wednesday this year, and you know, a lot of people probably didn't go in Monday and Tuesday. So that's fewer production days. And like I said, you know, there were a lot of people who were encouraged to not come in. So not a big surprise. I think on the new order side, lowest since April of 2009, the lower number was down, but the same number picked up. So we had a lot more companies kind of reporting that were the same month to month. And, you know, a same is only good for a half a point to the PMI, whereas a growing or a better is worth a full point. So when you have more companies move into the same, it affects the PMI number, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we're actually down a lot. And then, I think on the backlog, I looked at the backlog, and we had more, 61% of the respondents moving into the same backlog, and the percent lower actually decreased. So, I mean, so the number is the same pretty much month to month, but there's clearly a shift in the constituents at that level. That's three levels down now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look at the new export order table, 72% of the respondents reported the same level of new exports. So that's 72% said, hey, the amount of new export orders I'm receiving is the same as I got in November, which isn't bad.
Well, this is consistent with what your semi-annual report stated, that we're going to have this steady, steady, smooth sailing approach this coming year, that there's not going to be huge ups and there's not going to be huge downs. It's just going to move smoothly forward, unless, of course, we hit some major headwind that will screw everything up. But right on from your report of last month to right now.
Yeah, I think so, right? If 100% of our respondents reported the same level of activity this month compared to last month, you'd have a PMI of 50.
Right.
So this month we have a PMI of 47.2. I mean, that's about 10 to 15% off in the range than everybody being the same. But It clearly is a catastrophic. So I definitely want to make sure that your listeners understand this is not a catastrophic number. It's the lowest number since June of 2009, but that June of 2009 number was like mid-30s, I think. So this is not catastrophic by any means.
Well, tell your other folks that you're going to be interviewing today that it's not catastrophic, because if you're talking to them before the market closes, the market's liable to tank.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right.
You know, if it bleeds, it leads.
Well, that's you know, the issue, I think, if we've had anything to do with what's going on with the market, it's that the consensus was 49, you know, and you know, there's more than one PMI in the market these days. Unfortunately, I think it causes a bit of confusion. And just for your listeners to know, we've been doing this since 1935. So we've got a stable panel of an adequate amount of responses by industry sector. They're committed supply people. They're dedicated supply people. They're long tenured on the panel. and they're the first to see changes in the market, and they report it accurately, and it's not filtered by any kind of a company sentiment. It's a supply manager's opinion of what's happening in their company with respect to the 10 sub-indexes.
Well, I guess it's going to tell us next month if the direction that we seemingly are going is consistent with what we're talking about from the this report as well as the semi-annual report.
Yeah, I would think, you know, next month I would think that, that you know, the new order number would come up. That would be good. I would expect production to come up a little bit, maybe not a lot. Supplier delivery number stayed where it is. That would be good. You know, inventory doesn't tend to oscillate that much, but having inventory come up into the high 40s would be really good because it would represent confidence that at least in Q1 they're going to consume the material they're receiving in January. If the customer inventory number stays too low at that 41 level, that would be extremely good too. That means that there's future demand opportunity out there to satisfy. Prices remain in expansion territory, maybe getting up to 54, 55. That would be a real positive. And I don't think we're going to see backlog go up much, but you know, hopefully before the end of Q1, we'll see that backlog number, you know, back up in the 50 level, not high 50s, but maybe 52, 53. And you know, if the phase one deal has had any impact, then you know, we might see that new export order number get back up into expansion territory too.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed for all of the above.
I'm with you.
All right, Tim. Well, thanks again. I know you've got to jump. You've got other interviews to do for the mainstream media, but we appreciate you being on Manufacturing Talk Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Yep, always a pleasure being here, gentlemen. Happy 2020, and speak to you in February.
And have a good beginning of the year. You're doing a great
job.
Appreciate
it. Thanks.
You take care. Bye-bye.
You too.
And we've been talking with Tim Fiore, who is the committee chair for the Institute for Supply Management, in their manufacturing report on business in this Institute for Supply Management report on business series. So, Lou, in spite of the headline number, as Tim mentioned, there are some underlying interesting factors, which I dare say the listeners are only going to hear about on this show.
That's right, because if they listen to tonight's news, they're going to hear, oh, my God, the ISM tanked down to 47, stock market dropped by 400. We're losing. We're going backwards. You're not going backwards. We're not doomed.
Right.
Not doomed. You know, I don't want to be the guy who's yelling in his car, I got to get milk. I got to get milk. The storm isn't going to be that bad.
Right. All right. Well, we want to remind all of our listeners that all of our shows are under an umbrella company. If you haven't heard about Jacket Media, that is the umbrella company where we have all of our shows now, and also the e-zine Manufacturing Outlook, which comes out monthly. We would encourage our listeners to subscribe to that. There's even more information packed into that on the manufacturing industry and the outlook on various sectors of the industry. So, Lou, we've got a ton of information that we generate every month, and we hope our listeners and our readers are enjoying it.
I hope so. The numbers indicate that.
Yes,
so I'll speak to you soon, and good holiday, good start for the new year, and we'll be talking.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.